Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, we're in Luke chapter 10, if you guys will turn there. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. And why don't we pray and then we'll dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to meet here tonight. Lord, for a lot of these guys, a lot of us, it's been a long day. It's been a lot of work. A lot of things we're glad to get done. A lot of things we didn't get done, but there's always tomorrow. And Lord, we just pray right now that we would be able to set this all aside and really be able to focus on you and what you have to say to us. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here. We pray that you would just fill this place with your presence. And Lord, you would speak to our hearts and just draw us close to Jesus. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. All right, verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." I've titled this message tonight, Two Holy Callings. Two Holy Callings. And we're looking at this passage where Jesus is having this encounter with two women who seem to be at odds with how to relate to him, how to spend time with him. Of course, we have one, Martha. She's a worker. She's busy. She is the one who likes to make things happen. She's a woman of action. Martha wants to make sure that everything is in place, everything's done, everything is in order, and she is hard at it. And then there's Mary, not so busy. In fact, instead of busting it in the kitchen and putting together a five-course meal, she's just hanging out with Jesus, just sitting with him, enjoying his company, having fellowship with him. The background here is it seems like Jesus had spent time with this family, had spent time with Martha and Mary, and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus, of course, was the one who in John 11, Jesus raised from the dead. Jesus had spent time with them. In fact, in John 11, 25, it says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So Jesus had great affection. He had a special relationship with this family. Of course, we know that Jesus loves the world, but he had a special relationship with them. He knew them personally on a one-to-one basis as a family. He hung out at their house. This is the same Martha who questioned Jesus. "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Of course, we know that Jesus had a work to do. But they lived in this town of Bethany, which was about a mile and a half, still is, about a mile and a half from Jerusalem. Bethany is not a metropolis. In fact, it's kind of a rundown town. In fact, the word Bethany means house of misery, because a lot of invalids would end up living there. They would go there to live. No wonder Jesus liked to go there, right? Because he liked to spend time with the down and outers. But here Jesus is with this family, has come to visit Mary and Martha in Bethany. And right now you're thinking, you know what? Do I really want to hear a story about Jesus and a couple of chicks? A couple of ladies? I mean, we're men. Come on, isn't there some guys in? Okay, we'll just pretend these girls' names are like Mark and Martin or something like that. All right? But Jesus is dealing with these ladies, with these girls. So much of our identity is kind of connected with what we do, huh? When you think about it. You know, if you go up and you ask someone, "Hey, my name is so-and-so. Oh, what is like the first thing you ask, or one of the first things? What do you do, right? Or you want to tell them what you do, you know, in a conversation with somebody. Martha was a producer. Mary, I don't know, she just seemed to be more kicked back, more laid back, maybe more thoughtful. But God has wired most of us as men to be producers, hasn't he? It's like we want to get something done. It's like I want to do this project, do this thing. I've always got to be accomplishing something. There's got to be a task at hand. I don't like just sitting around. God has wired us that way. You know, Adam was what? He was a gardener, right? Worked in the garden. Abel was, well, he was a rancher. He took care of the animals. Noah was a carpenter, a shipbuilder, a preacher. And sometimes what we do kind of sums up our identity in a sense, or we think it does. What do you do? What do you do? Let me ask you. Someone tell me what you do. Stand up and tell me what you do. Come on. Be brave. Be bold. You guys are all unemployed. What's going on here? What do you do? You truck driver. All right. What do you do?
Engineer.
An engineer.
Honey-do list.
There we go, right there. There's a guy. He's not retired. He's still working. Doing the honey-do list. Anybody else?
Test software.
All right, test software. All right, anybody else?
Student.
A student. Very good. Very good. A barber. There you go. I want to see you afterwards. I want to see you. Very good. You've been talking to my wife. I think Martha's identity revolved about what she did. You know, she was a mover, she was a shaker, she made things happen. But it tells us here in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So Jesus comes for this visit. Both Mary and Martha are stoked to see him. They have both responded to Jesus in two different ways. Mary just wants to hang out and talk and listen and sit at Jesus' feet and enjoy his company. And Martha throws it into high gear, starts making the feast. I don't know if she's making lamb shanks or something. I don't know. Probably all kosher, I'm sure. But listen, they're both good responses. They're both good responses. Some of us are good at getting things done. Some of you are. Others are more laid back. Maybe you do like to chill a little bit. You like to worship God and go on hikes and go surfing or bird watching. I don't know. But look what happens here in the midst of Martha serving and all her hard work. She starts to get irritated with Mary. She's getting her eyes off Jesus because Mary doesn't seem to be doing anything and it's bugging Martha. So she goes to Jesus and starts to boss Jesus around. Jesus, Lord, tell her to get to work and help me out. And Jesus just starts to minister to Martha. Martha, Martha, girl, you're getting all worked up. And you know, sometimes even in church, we can kind of lose focus. Even in church, we can gravitate toward working, getting something done, maybe even serving the Lord instead of worshiping the Lord. I call it commotion instead of devotion. We need to be in devotion, yet our minds are just like going all over the place. They're bouncing all over the place, and God just wants us to have a time of devotion with him, to settle down, to simmer down, to settle down, to sit down and worship him. Worship and work are both necessary. They're both necessary. Without work, nothing will get done, but without worship, all our work's going to be misguided. Without worship, all our work is going to be misguided. In fact, our work for the Lord should be a result of our worship. Our work for the Lord should be a result of our worship. Our work and service should be an overflow of worship. An even act of worship. You know, I love to worship the Lord. I love to just, you know, like that song, forget about myself. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship Him. I would sing it, but you guys would probably throw something at me. But I love to just sing and worship the Lord and just kind of just focus on Him and lift my hands up. And then we're in this group and I look around and I love to see guys' arms up. You know, some one guy has tats all over his arms. The other one just has calluses and, you know, bloody stubs from working hard and smashing his finger out in the job. Another one has his, looks like he just got off work and still has his business clothes on, rolls up his sleeves, has his tie on, worshiping the Lord. I love to see that. It's awesome. It blesses the Lord, that act of worship. And I don't know how your study today ministered to you or this week as you read this passage about Mary and Martha. Who resonated with you? You know, are you a Mary? I hate to say, are you a Mary? Are you a Mark? Are you a Martin? Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Are you taking time to worship the Lord? Are you just busy? Trying to earn God's pleasure. Trying to earn, you know, you already have God's pleasure. You already have God's favor. And sometimes we get so busy as men and we just don't sit down and just spend time with Jesus. And just love on Him. And just praise Him and let Him speak to our hearts. Martha wasn't doing a bad thing. She just wasn't doing the best thing. And it's possible to do a good thing and neglect the best thing. Guys, think about this. It's possible to do a good thing and neglect the best thing. To think you're on point with something when the Lord is saying, would you just sit down? Just sit down. Spend some time with me. And we're telling God, God, I got to go out and I got to make the money. I'm pouring into my family. I'm serving at church. I'm doing all these things for you, God. And God's saying, really? Settle down. Sit down. Spend some time with me. I don't know if we have more Marys or Marthas in the church. I know we have a lot of both. But even speaking of Mary worshiping, Mary was worshiping the Lord, but you know, a lot of people come to church and they don't even, a lot of times we come to church and we don't even worship the Lord. We may listen to the music. Man, we got a killer band. I mean, you can just come for the guitar licks. Amen. But are we worshiping the Lord? You know that tithing is a part of worship? Yet only 20% of the church tithes. And 20% of the church serves. Isn't that interesting? Man, if everybody tithed and everybody served and everybody worshiped, can you imagine what this church would be doing? Where do we fit in? That's what we have to ask. Where do we fit in? Unfortunately, many Christians worship their work. They work at their play, and they play at their worship. Let me say that again. Many Christians worship at their work, they work at their play, and they play at their worship. They come into worship, but it's not really worship. It's just kind of listening to good music and hanging out when they haven't really offered their heart to the Lord. But God has also called us not only to worship, but He's called us all to serve. I think we can learn something from Martha, who Jesus was even exhorting her tenderly. He didn't get, you know, I just think it's so great how Jesus didn't, he didn't get offended or anything. He just said, Martha, Martha. God has called us all to serve. God has called us all not only to be in fellowship, but serving him in the body of Christ. Serving him. We know this because Corinthians 12 tells us, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. God has given us his Spirit so that we can minister to each other. Not only so that we can have that unity with the Lord, not only so that we can have the indwelling of the Spirit, but that so we can minister to each other. That's why God has given us the Holy Spirit, one of the reasons. And I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves, how am I allowing God's Spirit to use me in the church? Or am I just coming and have I just become a consumer? I'm just coming and I'm consuming. Yet you have the Spirit of God in your life, and you're not allowing God to use you even within your brothers here, maybe even here at Valor. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You may be sitting in your chair, well, I don't have any gift. Oh, yeah. You have a gift. God has given it to you by his Spirit. And if you don't, he wants to. And he's the one who distributes that gift. Every single one of us have gifts and abilities that are God-given, that God gives us to use to bless the church, to bless each other. Paul goes on in Corinthians and says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is therefore, am I not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is that therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. God is the one who gives us the abilities and the skills that we have to minister to him, to minister to each other, and to reach out to save a lost world. Amen? Amen. All of us have a place in the church to use the gifts that God has given us. But so often we even use it can be an excuse. Man, I'm just so busy at work. Man, we're all busy. And we're all tired. The world is run by tired people, someone once said. I agree. But it's not only is it a great privilege to serve the Lord, but it's also a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility to which we've all been called. Not all of us are called to be preachers, or not all of us are called to be like these guys, these worship leaders. Not all of us are called to be Greg Laurie's, but we're all called to do something. We're all called to do our part. Those who are truly reconciled are also recruited. Do you know that? You've been reconciled, if you've been brought into that relationship with the Lord, you've also been recruited to be on God's team. You know, in the book of Acts, I love the story about the disciples were being overwhelmed with all that was going on in the church. I mean, the church was exploding as they were going out with the gospel. People were coming to faith. Peter was preaching, you know, and 3,000 people were coming forward. And the church was growing. And the needs were growing. They were preaching. They were sharing the word. But the church was also reaching out to the people and those who were becoming saved. And if they needed help, they were ministering to them with food and clothes and just taking care of those who were coming to faith. And what was happening is there were Greeks that were getting saved. And there came a point where the Hellenistic widows were not being ministered to. And the people were coming and saying, hey, these widows are being overlooked. So the disciples got together and said, look, we can't neglect the preaching and praying. We need to appoint some people. We need to appoint some men to do this other work. And they prayed about it, and then they appointed 7 men to help them out. So they could stay doing what God had called them to do, staying in prayer and staying in the Word, preaching God's Word. And I think it's very interesting that as you look at the qualifications for these guys that they chose to serve, it says that in Acts 6:3, it says the men that they chose were men full of the Holy Spirit. Man, they were baptized with the Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that they were men of a good reputation. They had a little bit of history behind them. They were being faithful. They were living for God. They were living godly lives, and people knew it. They had a good reputation. It also says they were full of wisdom. They had good sense in the things of God. They may not have been Christians for 5 years or 10 years, but they had the wisdom of the Lord to discern things spiritually. They chose these men, and look what they did. They preached to thousands. No, that's not what it says. They went on missionary trips and led hundreds to Christ. No, that's not what it says. It says, basically, that they waited on tables. They waited on tables. They went and they served these women, moving chairs and tables and putting food out and ministering clothes. But they waited on tables, basically. I believe in heaven there's going to be a reward for the most chairs moved by a person. There's going to be some Christian who gets up there and goes, I moved 4,300,000 in 58 chairs. Because isn't that what we do as Christians? Especially when we come to church, it's like we're all running around moving chairs. Hopefully to make room for people. Hopefully to get someone a seat. It was even happening in the book of Acts. They were waiting on tables. They did things that seemed small, but they were huge in the eyes of the Lord. Huge in the eyes of the Lord. Too many people are willing to sit at God's table but not work in His field. They're not willing to work for the Lord, to really serve Him. You know, God doesn't ask about our ability or our inability, but He asks about our availability. Are you available to be used by God? Is God using you? Are you available? I remember when we started Monday nights at the Grove. How many of you guys made it to Monday nights at the Grove? I know Alex was there. I met a lot of you guys there. I don't even remember how many years ago. We were on Monday night, and Pastor Greg had been doing the Bible study at Calvary Costa Mesa, and then he was on hiatus for a while, and then he was like, man, I want to get this study going. So we started this study on Monday night at the Grove right next to Angel Stadium. And it was awesome, man. We had people were coming to Christ. It was filling up. But before we started, one of the other pastors, I wasn't a pastor. I was working, you know, I was in sales and had Southern California was my territory, Nevada. And I was an elder at the church and just serving the Lord and loving it. And just like, man, just, you know, really felt called to ministry, you know, full-time ministry, but just was letting the Lord kind of direct my steps. And so I was just working hard and serving. And this pastor friend of mine said, hey, Mike, we're going to start this Monday night study. You know, Pastor Greg's going to start this. He goes, are you interested in coming down and helping serve? And I was like, yeah, man, totally. I'll work it into my schedule. You know, I'll work it out where I'm there every Monday night. And so I was all stoked about it. And about a week later, he calls us, okay, we got a date. We're going to start. And I was like, all right, let's go. What do you want me to do, Mike? And I had these visions of grandeur. I guess I was thinking, well, if Greg can't make it, maybe I'll be speaking or something like that. Why are you guys laughing? So, I mean, it was just like I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't really thinking anything other than what he asked me to do. And he said, well, I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, we need some help directing traffic with the cones, you know, kind of overseeing the parking lot out there. And for a moment, I was like, man, I'm an elder in the church. Am I supposed to be doing that? But it was just a moment. And God just brought that verse to me so quickly in Acts, where it said that they were full of the Holy Spirit, they had a good reputation, and they were full of wisdom, and they served tables. And I said, man, that's me. I mean, I got nothing else, only what the Lord has given me. I can get out there in the parking lot. I think I didn't do a very good job because they took me out of it after about 2 days. But so God bless you guys who help out in the parking lot. But Maybe there was only a couple traffic accidents out there. But I made myself available. I was excited to just serve the Lord. And, you know, it was a real blessing to do that. But it's just a reminder that we're never going to be too small for God to use. We can only be too big for God to use. Like, oh man, that I can't do that. That's too small. I'm not going to do that job. Not saying that that's a small job. That's a big job. In fact, if we don't get cars into the parking lot, we don't have people in the pews. And if people aren't in the pews, then they're not hearing the word of God. So see, we just all work together to serve God, to glorify Him, to allow people to hear the word of God. But you know, each job does prepare us for the next. You know, sometimes God will have us in a place for a season, and then He'll move us to the next job. And God looks for faithfulness. He was faithful in much, and little will be faithful with much. And we just need to be faithful. You know, when you look in back in the Old Testament, and you look at a guy like Joseph, who was faithful. Even when he got thrown in jail, he was sweeping the prisons. He was faithful. And then he ended up being second in command in Egypt. Can you imagine that? A Jew being second in command in Egypt. Tell me God wasn't in that. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man, a faithful helper. He ended up getting tapped to succeed Joshua. Of course, David was just a shepherd boy, faithful doing what he did out there in the fields, and God called him to lead and shepherd Israel, God's people. And you may say, man, I want to do great things for God. Because, you know, didn't Jesus say that greater things will you do? Didn't he tell the disciples that in the upper room? Greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Man, I want to do those great, I mean, I want to be a part of that. It doesn't have to be me, but I want to be a part of those great things that God wants to do. How about you? Amen. All right. But the thing is, are we available? Are we available? Are we willing to do the small things? The seemingly insignificant things. I had a friend who's with the Lord now. His name was Gene Yeager. And he actually was a multimillionaire. And he, some of you guys may remember the trucks, the Yeager trucks. They built freeway bridges and all that. And just a great, great guy. And when we got married, I remember the punchline was kind of backing up. And there were people kind of, you know, fumbling around the punch and the line backing up. And Gene just walked over and just stood by the punch bowl and grabbed the ladle and just started giving everybody punch and getting everyone through and greeting them. Like, we hired him to work at our wedding or something. Like, we were just poor kids. We couldn't even rub two nickels together, you know. And Gene just started serving the Lord. It was just such an example of humility, of a guy who was just willing to do the small things. And look, in the house of God, we have to be willing to do the small things. I don't know what they are. In God's eyes, there's nothing small. We're the ones who do the rating. But in God's eyes, nothing small. But we need to be available, and we need to be faithful. And our great example is our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't He? Who in the upper room, when all the guys were looking around, like, who's going to wash feet? Who picked up the towel? And I've thought about this, guys, about Jesus walking around with a towel girded around His waist, looking at a bunch of feet. And I'll be honest with you, if I were to have to choose 12 guys in here to wash your feet, I don't know I'd be too happy about it. I mean, guys' feet are not the most, you know, beautiful things in the world. And I don't know about these guys, but look at you. You had a couple fishermen. I'm sure they were calloused and beat up. You know, these are planks. Maybe smelly. You know, they're walking around in sandals. Hopefully they trim their toenails. Guys, do your wives a favor. Trim your toenails. Sometimes I see guys wearing sandals, and I'm like, what the heck? You're getting into bed with those things? Your poor wife. That was just a side note. Trying to bless your wife. But can you imagine washing these guys? This is God. God Himself looking down and saying, I'm just going to wash your feet as an example. He humbled Himself. He tells us in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that same Lord who washed feet went to the cross and died for us. Died for you and me so that we can have that relationship with him. And what greater thing can we do than to worship him and to serve him? And I believe tonight that God has spoken to hearts. And maybe you haven't been worshiping passionately. Maybe you haven't been worshiping with your whole heart. And maybe you haven't been serving the Lord. Maybe in your mind you're just, I'm too busy. I'm not available. And God is saying, I want you to make yourself available. Maybe it's an hour here or an hour there. I don't know. God will lead and God will guide. But Henrietta Mir said, God can't steer a parked car. And we got to be moving. We got to be taking those steps of faith. And tonight, we're just going to take, we're going to do one last song tonight, and we're just going to worship the Lord. We're going to bow our heads and just ask God to speak to our hearts and get our Mary and Martha, or Martin and Max, whatever I called them, get that in balance. Be a worshiper, but be a worker too, and be available for God's purposes. If the guys want to come up, Tim, you guys here? Let's go before the Lord right now and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a good God, and Jesus, you are such an awesome Savior. And Jesus, that you went to that cross as that suffering servant and died for us. And Lord, now you're reigning king. You're not on the cross anymore, but you've risen, you've ascended, and you're on the throne in heaven, and we're your servants. And Lord, we do want to serve you, and we do want to worship you. And Lord, now we just want to offer our hearts to you, and we just pray that you would even speak to our hearts as we just spend this time, this last worship song. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.